This show is part of the RetroZap.com podcast network. All right, so I'm here at HasCon at the Transformers booth, and who am I here with today?
Yeah, Ben Montano, marketing director for Transformers.
Absolutely. And John Warden, design manager on Transformers.
Excellent. Nice to meet you guys. Yeah, fantastic. Nice. So, fantastic show here. So now that The Last Knight is out, huge story, changed the brand quite a bit.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking for the future of the series and the franchise itself?
Yeah, I mean, John and I are already working very closely with Paramount and the team on the Bumblebee film. So we started shooting last month.
No kidding.
Which is awesome. So next Christmas, hopefully everyone will, December 21st, the film comes out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, you mentioned as we were kind of prepping for this a little bit about that kind of G1 nostalgia of the brand.
Sure.
What's awesome about this film is Bumblebee will be a VW bug.
No way, really?
It's already on set. It looks fantastic. So you're going to get a real cool flavor. The film takes place prior to the 07, the first Bay film. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun to work on that script and really connect the continuity of our property together. And we've been working on a toy line. It's just a lot of fun. I think that's part of, as we look at this brand, the story going forward, I think we have an opportunity to really kind of touch on that the fun of transformation, our characters, and our story with our future movie universe.
Absolutely. So Transformers, it's over 30 years now, the franchise.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you face when you're adapting story, you're producing figures? Like, what are some of the things that you're thinking about when you're trying to develop, you know, more figures? I think I'll leave there because I have some ideas on the generation as well.
Well, I mean, it all kind of fits together like a big puzzle. And Ben and I will work hard to kind of plan out things a year, sometimes 3 years in advance, to kind of think about what is our story universe going to look like in terms of, you know, how is a kid or collector going to play with it? And then what pieces of the puzzle kind of make sense for which characters?
Sure.
So it's like, who's the Titan going to be for that year? What version of Optimus Prime are we going to do?
Right,
you know,
right,
it's like,
yeah.
So it kind of, and then it all, it's like a big Tetris game. All the pieces kind of fit together. How do we fill in the blanks? What's the mortar that kind of holds it all together?
Yeah.
And then we look at the next year. And if a character doesn't make the cut 1 year, it doesn't mean that that character's out of the running. It just means that maybe it will come out at a later time.
One of the things I always thought about with Transformers is it reinvents itself every couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are always pulled back to, you know, whatever Transformers they grew up with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're always moving forward. And I think that's pretty interesting because a lot of times Transformers, for a lot of people at RetroZap, they think immediately G1, and it's interesting to see how far it's come and where it's going. But then you also have the Generations line as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I'd love to hear a little more about that as well.
So I think, honestly, one of the coolest things, I think the reason why people like G1 so much and Beast Wars is that there's such great iconic storytelling.
Right.
Very simple, awesome broad strokes kind of storytelling, awesome narrator voice, and very clear forces of good versus evil. These awesome story devices are classic, and I think it's one of the things that's kept G1 timeless, not even here in the United States, but around the world. It's very, very popular in Asia as well. So Transformers Generations really takes the essence of what made G1 cool and brings the spotlight to a new generation sometimes. So
Absolutely.
It's like we'll take something like Headmasters and we'll take a closer look at it and figure out a way that we can bring those characters to life using modern toy technology and sometimes even the 80s colors to
Right.
kind of bring that character back for a new generation of fans.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, every time I think Transformers, I'm looking for the grid lines. You know,
oh, yeah,
the classic
right?
grid lines
yeah,
on that yeah. packaging. I saw the original Optimus Prime packaging over there, and it brought me right back to being 4 years old, Jordan Marsh, PB, Massachusetts, and just screaming bloody murder
awesome.
That it was there. And there was no way my mother was walking out of there without guiding her. It was unbelievable.
Awesome.
And I still have that today. It's on my desk at work. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, I was looking at those Generation toys, and they look like how I remember the figures to be. You know, it's awesome when you think that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sort of tooling is amazing. Switching gears a little bit, what about Quintessons? I mean, I'm just going to cut right to the core. I want to talk a little bit about Quintessons themselves.
Oh, the Quintessons.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's no plans for the Quintessons in line right now, but just like I spoke to, I think it's all about figuring out our story universe for the year and where it makes sense. We recognize the popularity of the Quintessons. Question back on you. Do you think that Quintessons should transform or not?
I always thought of them as like the makers, right? I like the idea of like the heads from the movie, I don't know. I always thought it was some sort of like biomechanical sort of thing. So I don't know if it would be like a robotic thing, but I think that's part of like the mythology. That's where it really gets to that mythic level where you know, people, I've read ridiculous, like, not ridiculous in their premise, but ridiculous in their length and their depth. that they've gone into in how built out the entire mythology could actually go.
Your question a minute ago, what's the challenge with Transformers? I think the challenge is our mythology is so vast, but it's so undefined still.
So
and that G1 had a, it's a kind of microcosm of our universe, and then the movie, and then where we are at ease. So I think if John and I plot out the where we're going with the brand, a lot of it has to do with what's our next story device? Who are we working with, whether it's Machinima or Space Ape and their games? And so we have an IDW. We have all these different vehicles that can dive deeper into one character, or like Megatron is an Autobot. Like, what the heck, right? So, I mean, there's so many fun paths to take. I think our biggest challenge is, you know, how do we keep all these within at least some continuity? And then from there, which ones are we going to put into a toy form and at what time? So that's the challenge, but that's fun. And John said puzzle. That is what keeps us going, and listening to you guys and everyone else on here telling us, like, oh my God, you're missing this guy, you're missing that. We find places eventually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I think, all right, one more question for you.
Sure, sure. Sorry
about
that.
No, it's no problem at all. So, when it comes to catering towards, like, you know, new people entering the franchise, i.e. like children, and then the collector community who might be asking much different demands for what they might be seeing, how is it to balance that, and how do you play off the different lines of the characters trying to deliver a little bit for everybody?
A brand like Transformers makes it easy because it gives us so many iconic characters to work with. So we've got a broad range of colors in our toolkit to use. But one of the things that I've always kind of kept in the back of my head is, how can you take somebody's first experience with Transformers? And they might just be the most casual fan out there. Like, my next door neighbor told me a story about how he used to have Dinobots snarl. And it was his favorite toy, but it was his only Transformer he ever had. But then he had to move, and he lost it.
Right.
So it was that one of those moments where it's like he has a connection to it. But you hear that same kind of story from collectors all the time. And then how can you then take that essence of what made that Snarl cool in the first place and bring it to life in a new way using modern technologies? Because in the end of the day, I think people connect to Transformers for different reasons and from all generations. You've got people now who grew up with the 2007 film. So we've got moving masterpieces.
And I think that's the biggest opportunity that we have for this brand is, how do you unite the fandom, right? There should never be a competition of what is the G1 of a fandom, right? I think whether a G1 could be prime to somebody, what's their first intro? I think that's where we've had a lot of fun, like Robots in Disguise, bringing Blur, Starscream, others into that series in a look and style that harkens back to kind of a G1 look. And it was done properly and in a fun way. And I think we're seeing our fandom uniting. And that, to me, and what John and I are doing, you do it sometimes through toys. So Cogman and Nitro with the Headmaster play, right? You're uniting now a fandom and appreciation for the movie line for some of the likes of Generations toys, right? So that really is the kind of vision that we're architecting for this brand, is we got 34 years of fans.
Yeah.
Let's all be one, unless, you know, you may not want to or need to collect every series, but there's an appreciation for the characters and the stories. So.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Likewise. Yeah. Thanks to you and your fans.
Thanks.